High up in the nighttime sky, a boy perches on a crescent moon and dangles his fishing rod over the edge. The crescent moon transforms into the D of DreamWorks SKG. A blizzard of fluttering papers clear to reveal P&M Productions. DreamWorks Pictures presents, in association with Cold Spring Productions, The Uninvited. At night, the flames of a roaring fire. A teenage couple lying on the ground next to it, snogging, the guys lying on top. They break off from kissing and the dark-haired guy gazes down at the pretty brunette.
I love you. And I have a condom.
She looks uneasy.
No, I shouldn't be here.
Come on, it'll be fine.
No, I really shouldn't be here.
Come on!
I'm at a party. But all I want to do is get home.
Ciao, ragazza. Hey, where are you going? Anna!
Now, Anna's walking alone through dark, eerie woodland. As she makes her way along, she looks back over her shoulder at a rustling sound behind her. She pauses for a moment, looking around. Then her eyes rest on something a few feet away in a small clearing. Three white plastic rubbish sacks, each filled with something. Looking slightly apprehensive, she slowly walks towards them. Approaching the nearest of the three rubbish sacks, she crouches down to examine it. The mouth of the plastic bag has been closed with a twist, and as she hesitantly reaches out her hands to open it, something suddenly bursts out. She recoils in horror, then peers down to see what it is. It's the hideously contorted body of a dead young woman with red hair, and as she stares at it, the head spins round to face her. She flees in terror. A large mansion looms up in the distance.
And then I hear my mother's bell. I go to find her. When she got sick, we moved her into the boathouse. It's where she wanted to be. But she's alone. She's not supposed to be alone.
The pale, gaunt woman's in bed, gasping for breath. A bell hanging around her wrist rings as she flinches.
I run up to the house to find my dad.
The house is in darkness, furniture's covered in sheets. A bird's pecking at something on a plate.
There's something wrong. It doesn't feel safe. Something evil in the house.
She approaches a white door. Blood drips from the keyhole. Her mother gasps. The boathouse bursts into flames. Daytime.
One way or another, these dreams seem to be about trying to get out of the woods and back home.
Yeah. And when I get there, it's like Mom's trying to tell me something. But I can't understand what it is. What she's trying to say.
Well, we've talked about the little red-headed girl, but now there's a new detail. The watering can. Why do you think you were holding it?
I don't know. I really don't remember.
Maybe you were trying to put out the fire.
When my mom first got sick, she said that she'd always be there. It could be a stray cat or just the sound of the wind. It would always be her. She'd always protect us, you know. But the night of the fire, I couldn't protect her.
Smart girl.
If I'm so smart, why can't I remember what happened that night?
Okay. Here's what I think. We survive by remembering, but sometimes we survive by forgetting. You lost your mother in a tragic fire. Your life was changed forever by what? A broken fuel valve? Maybe it's not such a bad thing to forget.
But what about the dream?
It's a dream. You'll figure it out, or you won't. That's how it all works. It's a process, Anna. What's it been? 10 months? And you're almost finished. But you're not going to get there in a place like this.
Do you think I'm ready to leave?
What else do you want from me? Go home. Kiss a boy, get into trouble. Finish what you started.
Now, Anna's sprinting along a corridor. Then she's in a small bedroom removing a family photo from a pinboard as she packs the last of her things into a holdall. She goes to the window and waves to a middle-aged man waiting by his car outside. As she turns away, a scary-looking young woman's looming over her.
Pretty little Anna. Going home, sweet home. I'll be lonely. I really gotta go. There was so much blood, wasn't there, Anna? Do you really think they fixed you?
Come on, honey. Let the girl pack her things. What have we told you about wandering in here all the time?
They couldn't fix me.
There were scars on Anna's wrists. She makes her way off down the corridor.
Who will I tell my stories to?
Anna carries on walking as the woman's led away by a nurse. Then she hurries out of the main entrance and into the arms of the man waiting for her. Then, from high above, their car making its way along a winding tree-lined road, sunlight's glinting through the trees. Stephen, 50-something with steel-grey hair, is at the wheel.
I've got a surprise for you. Look in the glove compartment.
Tell me it's a cheeseburger.
Not quite.
A book.
You finished it?
Yeah, look inside.
The book's dedicated for my daughters Anna and Alex.
Thank you, Dad.
You're very welcome.
Is it any good?
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure you'll tell me. I know something that's good.
A box of cookies.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, Rachel made them. She was going to come today, but I told her I wanted you all to myself. She's been great, Anna. Really, she has been. I don't know what I would have done
Dad,
without.
Got me to yourself.
She closes the box of cookies. Automatic gates swing open as they sweep up the winding tree-lined drive, leading to the large mansion. Anna gazes up at it. Then she's hurrying in the front door, smiling as she takes everything in. She runs upstairs.
Alex?
She dashes along the landing and into a bedroom, lying face down on the bed, and snuggling up to a pillow with a happy, contented smile. There's a plastic nodding bird on her bedside table and she taps its beak. She gets up off the bed and goes to the window and looks out. There's someone swimming below, sunlight shimmering on the water. She goes to a drawer and takes some shorts and changes into them. She heads downstairs to find a tall, attractive blonde in her 30s, Rachel, standing in the hallway.
Anna, you're back. You're early.
I'd hug you, but I... Welcome home. You look great. You look so skinny. I think I could use some time at that place. My first order of business is fattening her up. I've already started with him.
Yeah, she's been cooking all day. Making, what are you making?
Beef stroganoff. Your favorite. So you have a house full of women now, Mr. Ryder. Did your dad tell you my idea?
No.
About the party. We thought we could throw you a welcome home and a bash.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Well, everybody's been asking about you. We've got all summer. There's no rush.
Nope.
Okay, I'm gonna go down to the water.
I blew it.
Anna walks out, pausing at the sight of the boathouse. The mansion's perched on a bluff overlooking the ocean, with the boathouse below at the water's edge. Anna's now walking up to the door, her footstep creaking on the wooden deck. As she peers inside, she imagines her mother lying on the bed, gasping for breath, the bell dangling around her wrist. She turns away and walks along the wooden balcony surrounding the boathouse, putting a dangling winching hook to one side as she goes. She peers in through a window, cupping her hands around her eyes. It's bare and empty. An older teenager in a bikini's beside her.
Just like it never happened, huh?
Alex! Oh, I missed you so much!
So, what do you think? You know, he had them working weekends, so it'd be finished by the time he got back. Welcome to your new ward. Better food. Crazier people.
When did she move in?
Guess. First she was helping with the accident inquiry, and then she was helping with the funeral. Now she's helping him cope. Three times a night. Whatever. Hey, thanks a lot, by the way.
For what?
Deserting me.
Alex!
You know, I was stuck here with those two while you went off searching for your inner psycho.
Alex, you don't know what it was like in there.
She was my mother, too. You know, you could have at least written me back.
What are you talking about?
The playlist I made you, the letters I wrote.
I didn't get anything, Alex, I swear. Maybe Dr. Silberling didn't want me to see them.
No. It wasn't Dr. Silberling.
Such an asshole.
I mean, how could you not send my letters? Those were my letters, Dad. What? Were you too afraid I'd tell her about your new little girlfriend? Huh? Was that it? Tell her about all the dirty little secrets? I mean, it was a mistake for you to move right here, and our whole stupid town just loves talking about it. Oh, you disgust me.
Anna was listening outside. Alex storms out past her.
Where are you going?
As if anybody cares.
As Alex marches off, Anna heads into the house. She pauses in the hallway as she catches sight of Rachel in the kitchen preparing food. Steeling herself, she heads in.
Ah, you got me. Come here. You can hug me now. I'm clean. Listen, Anna, I know the rules state that you're supposed to hate Dad's new girlfriend, but I'm really hoping that we can be more original than that and make this work.
Sure.
Yeah.
Something's different.
Oh, yeah, we painted. I really love all the wallpaper in the house, but the kitchen just needed some brightening up.
There used to be something here.
Did there?
Yeah. A chalkboard?
Oh, yeah, the chalkboard. It must be up in the attic with all the other old stuff. I think I figured we didn't need one anymore. So what do you think? Do you want to help set the table?
No, I'm okay. I'm not really hungry anyway.
Now Anna enters the attic, a swinging light bulb illuminating the cluttered space. She discovers the chalkboard and picks it up, looking at it with a smile. Then she finds some clothes hanging on a rail and holds a garment to her face, smelling it. Pushing the clothes aside, she discovers a keepsake box on the floor. She sits down and removes the lid. Amongst the things inside is the bell her mother was wearing around her wrist. She lifts it out and holds it in her hand, staring sadly at it. She takes out some family photos and flicks through them. Her mum as a young woman, feeding a baby. Then with her and Alex as little girls, the three of them smiling. Then more recent photos, including one of her dad sitting on the sofa with her and her mum and Alex, standing in the background, wearing a formal cardigan and blouse, is Rachel. She seems to be gazing straight at the camera, unsmiling. At night, Anna's sitting up in bed reading her dad's book. She frowns at the noise coming through the wall. She picks up her personal stereo off the bedside table, switches off the lamp, then puts the earphones in and tries to settle down to sleep. The boathouse in pale silhouette, silver moonlight shimmering on the water. At night, Anna lies sleeping. A noise awakens her. She leans up in bed, removing her earphones, and listens. She sees something moving in the light under the bedroom door, then someone's turning the handle.
Alex?
Her breath quickens as the door creaks open. The key seems to pop out of the lock. Anna turns away in panic, pulling the covers round her. Her mother's bell seems to be ringing, but it's not moving. She cautiously turns back to look at the open door. Her eyes scan the room. It seems no one's there. She leans up a little and cautiously looks round the room again. Something just out of her sight seems to be crawling along the floor towards her. She edges away from it, her mouth open in fright. Suddenly, one bloodied hand appears on the edge of the bed. It closes its fingers around the bedclothes, pulling them off. Anna's frozen in shock as another hand clasps her leg. The bedroom door slams shut and she sits bolt upright. The room's empty. She turns on the bedside lamp.
What are you doing?
So, was that you or Nursey in the throes of ecstasy?
I don't know.
Okay.
You're drunk?
Well, I went to a party and drinks were served. Where did you find that?
Upstairs.
What the hell are you doing with it?
I don't know. It was in the attic and...
Okay, well, that's where it should stay.
I hate that bell.
Why?
It reminds me of Mom. We needed it, Alex. That's how she called for help. After she got sick.
Anna, wake up. Rachel bought the bell.
What are you saying?
She went into a goddamn pet store, bought a bell, came home and tied it around Mom's wrist. And do you know why? So that she could hear Mom coming while she was busy riding Dad.
Making that up.
Okay. Why would I do that?
To get back at Dad?
Trust me, Anna, I'm way past getting back at Dad. You know, I might be drunk, but at least I know what the truth is.
Oh, here comes the burrito.
Daytime. In the kitchen, Anna's hammering a nail into the wall and hanging the chalkboard back up, while Alex looks on, smiling.
Maybe try a sledgehammer next time.
Sorry.
Looks good to me.
Great. Actually, just what our little kitchen needed.
Isn't it, though?
I'm out of here.
Cool.
You know, Anna, I remember when I first came here to look after your mom. I showed up at the house, and Alex was doing her bitchy teenager thing, disrespecting your father. But you were different. Quiet, you know? Polite. Proper little lady. I remember thinking, still waters run deep in this one. She's the strong one. When I was your age, I had to deal with some rough things, like you. And I learned to be strong. To be a girl nobody fucked with. I am so glad to have you back. I hope it works out so you can stay.
Thanks. I intend to.
Did you see her face? It was like you totally jacked her Barbie kitchen.
I was swinging the hammer with my eyes closed.
That is so awesome.
That's our chalkboard. It should be there. Remember Mom would leave messages on it? Soccer practices?
Oh, but her handwriting was so bad.
Pinky pack?
They leap off the boathouse deck into the water below. Then they're sunbathing on a floating jetty.
Am I, like, really pale?
Yeah, you're pretty much, like, see-through. Well, hopefully your future husband won't notice.
No, you're not leaving me here.
What are sisters for?
Alex, don't you dare!
Alex dives into the water, just as the young, dark-haired lad Anna was kissing earlier sails up on a small motorboat. Anna pulls on a vest top.
Hey, Matt.
Hey. So how you been?
Yeah, okay.
You know, I really wanted to visit you up there, but they wouldn't let me.
Well, you should have slit your wrist too. We could have been roommates.
She's back.
So listen, that night at the beach...
No, listen. I was nervous, okay, so I drank a bunch, and no one has ever accused me of being smart, so I was dumb and drunk. But I was worried about you. I mean, I even went looking for you.
What do you mean?
I followed you home that night, Anna. I was here. I saw everything.
Running a little late. Aren't you, Matt? Whew. Thanks.
That's all we need.
Okay. I'll see you around.
Bye.
Having delivered two boxes of provisions, Matt sails off. Rachel picks up one of them.
Why don't you bring these supplies up to the generator room? And then come up. Your father's starved.
Anna watches Matt disappearing off across the water. Carrying one of the boxes, Anna steps inside a utility room at the boathouse. She puts it to one side and walks up to a large fuel storage tank with an outlet tap on the bottom. She stands for a moment, touching the metal tap, looking sad and regretful, before walking out. In the sitting room, while Rachel and Stephen are cuddled up, Alex and Anna are sitting separately from them, exchanging glances.
Your agent called today.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know he rents a house up here.
Yeah, last 5 years. He likes to pretend to fish.
I think he has the editor of the book review as a house guest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I invited them for dinner on Friday night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Along with a few other people. Well, why not?
Well...
We never have anyone to the house. It'll be fun. Please?
Okay.
Okay.
Anna looks disgusted and walks out. Stephen glances at her as she goes. As she walks along the landing, she pauses at the sight of movement in the light under one of the bedroom doors. She cautiously approaches the door, opens it, and peers inside. It's her dad's study. The room seems empty, a lamp switched on, and there's a glass paperweight sitting on the desk. She picks it up, then remembers watching as it dropped to the floor. Then she's walking down towards the boathouse in the darkness. Lightning flashes across the sky as she approaches it. She looks nervous, breathing heavily as she approaches the front door. She pauses for a moment, then reaches out for the door handle and turns it. She pushes the door open and creeps in. The room has a polished wood floor and is practically empty, apart from a couple of things under white dust sheets. Occasional flashes of lightning through the net curtains illuminate the otherwise dark room. Anna recoils in shock at the sight of something on the floor in front of her. It seems to be someone crawling towards her. Lightning reveals a tall, long-haired, zombie-like figure rising to its feet. Anna sinks to the floor and cowers as the creature reaches out with its long, bony fingers. She looks up in terror as the creature seems to be pointing up at the ceiling.
Murder!
As Anna screams, a light comes on outside and the front door opens.
Anna? What are you doing down here? Hey, are you okay?
I saw Mom!
What are you talking about?
Anna! She's been trying to tell me something.
What? The fire was in an accident. It was her.
They gaze up at Rachel, who was calling to Anna from outside the main house. Daytime, and the sisters are sitting in an empty bath talking.
Rachel just happened to have the night off.
Yeah, right.
Alex.
Oh, it all makes sense now. She left Mom, parked her car down the street, put on those little white shoes, and walked back down to the boathouse.
Maybe we're jumping to conclusions.
Excuse me, I'm not the one that saw our dead mother point the finger at Dad's creepy girlfriend.
I think it was just a dream.
Anna, you were wide awake. I saw you.
Well, maybe it was all in my head.
Maybe so. But it doesn't change what both of us know. That tap didn't leak. Rachel turned it on. She killed Mom, and she's not going to get away with it.
Hello?
Hello in there.
Did she hear us? I don't know.
Listen, I'm going into town to do some shopping for this party. Would you like to come? Have some retail therapy? Maybe grab lunch?
I'm totally hungover and I'm expecting a headache later. But Anna wants to come.
What? No.
Shh. What about Matt? You could see him talk to him. I thought you said he came back to the house that night.
How about it, Anna?
Come on. You can go and I can stay here and dig through her stuff. Come on.
You know, we can do it another time.
No. I'll be down in a minute. I'm just gonna find something cute to wear.
In a convertible.
Your dad hates it when I drive fast. Our little secret, okay?
A little secret. What happened to my mom's car?
Well, we discussed it, and we just felt like the family needed something more, fun.
Rachel turns onto a small town high street. In a diner, Rachel and Anna are sitting in a booth seat by the window. Anna notices her playing with the three-string pearl necklace she's wearing.
My one good piece of jewelry.
Where'd you get it?
Oh, someone gave them to me ages ago.
A boyfriend?
An old patient, actually.
Really? Sounds like a nice job.
I wiped old people's asses for a living, Anna. And let me assure you, they were not all beautiful. Like your mom. Nah, I mostly had to do things that decrepit old ladies with lots of money were either too ashamed or weak to do for themselves. Wanna know how I got through it? It's terrible. But, no matter how condescending they were, how badly they treated me, how badly they smelled, I always told myself, they'll be dead very, very soon. You know, Anna, we all have things in our past that we're ashamed of. Sometimes it's best to just let them go.
Anna notices a little red-haired girl sitting at the breakfast bar, who turns round and stares at her sadly.
Anna? Anna, are you all right?
There's no one there. Anna notices Matt across the street, carrying some boxes into a shop.
There's some shopping to do, right?
Beautiful marbling. How long has it been aged?
We sell it fresh.
Never mind. I'm gonna go grab the milk.
Great, thanks.
Leaving Rachel at the meat counter in the small supermarket, she goes off to find Matt, who she spotted at the back of the store. He's disappeared into a delivery area, and Rachel hesitates, glancing back over her shoulder, then follows after him.
Matt. Anna. Hey. What are you doing here?
Listen, I think I know what you were trying to tell me yesterday. The fire wasn't an accident, was it? What did you see?
Matt? Those berries aren't getting any pressure.
Yeah, okay, I'm coming.
Will you help us, please?
Yeah, okay, just not here.
Okay, then, can we meet tonight?
Matt!
Yeah, 11. At the Rock.
Okay.
Couldn't find the milk?
Yeah.
We should go.
Okay.
Oh, and Matt, you won't need to make deliveries to the house anymore. That's gonna be my job from now on.
She leads Anna away. Later, they arrive back at the house. Stephen's outside as they pull up. He walks over as they get out of the car.
Have fun?
Oh, yeah. We're telling each other all our secrets right now.
Yeah. Thanks for lunch.
She heads into the house, pausing on the stairs as she hears them talking outside. She creeps into Stephen and Rachel's bedroom.
Alex?
It seems empty and she checks the ensuite bathroom.
Alex?
Then enters the walk-in wardrobe.
Jesus, you scared me. I thought you were her. You talked to Matt?
Yeah, we're meeting him tonight.
Cool. Look at this.
God, why are they bringing in the stripper pole?
I know, she's like a crack whore without the dignity. P.S. Look at this.
A vibrator.
Come on. Look what I found. Meet Mr. Chubby. Oh,
it's disgusting. No, I'm not touching that.
Alex pulls a zip-up pouch out of a drawer and opens it to reveal a medical kit with syringes and bottles of liquid.
Whoa. Okay, that's enough to tranquilize a horse.
Or you and me.
Alex puts it back where she found it.
Oh, wait. Party's over, Rach.
She takes the batteries out of the vibrator and throws it back in the drawer, then follows Anna out.
Come on, let's go. We're going to be late.
It's nearly 11 p.m. and the two sisters are creeping out of the house. They stop in their tracks as a security light comes on, then carry on. They pick their way over a rocky headland, jutting out into the water, Anna in front, with Alex following behind her. Later, the two girls are lying in bed.
It's okay, Anna. We'll find him tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to bed.
No, please stay with me till I fall asleep.
Ugh. If I had $10 for every time I heard that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No funny stuff.
Anna starts dreaming. Billowing net curtains, a little girl running, the red-haired girl and smartly dressed twin boys at the diner breakfast bar staring, blood dripping from the keyhole. The girl drops her glass of milk and it smashes on the floor, turning into blood. Anna's jolted awake, finding herself alone. Matt climbs in through the bedroom window.
Hey, don't be afraid, I just didn't want to wake your parents up.
Where were you? We waited for you with the rock, just like you said.
Yeah, I know.
What happened? You're soaked.
I fell and hurt my back or something.
Here, come sit down.
He removes his wet shirt and sits down.
I'm sorry it's so late, but it's just, I think you need to know the truth about what I saw that night.
Tell me. Shivering.
I can't feel anything. I'm scared, Anna.
Don't be.
Looking into her eyes, he leans forward and kisses her on the lips. He runs his fingers down her back, and she does the same to him, but feels something jutting out through his flesh. He grabs her arms, his expression dark and ghoulish.
Your mother tried to warn me, Anna. But I didn't listen.
She breaks free from his grip and backs away.
Hold me.
He crawls towards her and as he tries to rise to his feet, his torso becomes hideously contorted. She flees from the room and slams the door shut to find sunlight streaming in through the landing windows. She catches her breath for a moment, then slowly opens her bedroom door again. She finds the room empty and lets out a relieved sigh as she looks down at her striped rug on the floor. She glances up at the sound of a helicopter overhead. Then she and Alex are looking on as a salvage operation's taking place off the coast. A helicopter's hovering above a boat as two divers give the signal and Matt's body is winched out of the water. As she realizes who it is, Anna gasps in shock and Alex looks distraught. The crew members carefully guide Matt's body onto the deck of the boat. Later, Anna's sitting on a wooden log on the beach, staring into space. The sheriff finishes speaking with Alex and her dad and walks over to her.
Anna? Hi, I'm Sheriff Emery. I don't know if you remember me. Listen, we're going to do a thorough investigation, but he must have hit a patch of timber. Fell out of the boat, broke his back. Were you supposed to meet him?
She nods.
Listen, we all know what you're going through. Anything you need, anything at all, you come see me. You understand? I'm deeply sorry.
He gets to his feet and walks away. Later, Anna and Alex are following Stephen back to the house. Rachel's waiting for them outside.
This is terrible. I'm gonna make breakfast. You should eat something. Coffee?
Yeah. Dad, wait.
What?
Matt wasn't just on the water last night. He was coming to see me.
Anna, what happened to Matt is not your fault.
Dad, that's not what she's trying to say.
Why don't you come help me? Dad.
I'll go.
What?
I saw Matt in town yesterday. He told me he saw what happened the night of the fire. Rachel overheard us. She didn't want me to talk to him anymore. She didn't want him to come here ever again.
Anna, why would Rachel say something like that?
It's just...
What?
Is everything all right out there?
No, we'll be right in.
Okay.
Sweetheart, I know this is difficult for you. It's been hard for all of us, but please don't do this. Okay? Just... don't do this. Come on, have some breakfast.
I'll be there in a minute.
On the ocean, a police dinghy's towing Matt's small boat away. From inside the house, Rachel's looking back over her shoulder at Anna. Alex finds Anna in her bedroom sobbing.
No, I'm not okay. I'm not crazy, Alex. Matt was here. And I thought that I was dreaming, but I wasn't.
Anna.
And he said that Mom was trying to warn him.
Okay, how can that
be? And he was holding me.
Anna, listen.
Look!
She holds out her bruised forearms to show her. Alex looks shocked.
Afraid.
I'm not crazy. They're not gonna send me back there.
No, I'm not afraid for you. I'm afraid for us.
Anna, we're the last one standing between Rachel and what she really wants. Come on. Look, last time I checked, you didn't become some psycho serial killer overnight. So we need to find out exactly who Miss Rachel Summers really is.
A gas hob being switched on, then a large joint of beef being unwrapped, and the table being laid with china plates.
Yes, hi. I'm trying to get some information about someone we hired through your agency. Her name's Summers. Rachel Summers. Hello, I'd like to get a reference on one of your nurses, please. I believe she was on your staff at the hospital between July and December of 2005. Hi, I'm running a background check on someone who worked for you several years ago. Summers. S-U-M-M. Yeah, as in mother. E-R-S. As in Satan. What? No, that's impossible. No, that's fine. Okay, thanks very much. Bye. I've got her.
Rachel's sitting at her bedroom mirror putting on lip gloss when Anna comes to the door.
Anna. Come in. You know, you have beautifully shaped lips. You just don't know what to do with them. Men will go on about a woman's eyes, but that's bullshit. What they really want is a girl with a pretty mouth.
She applies some red lipstick on Anna, whose eyes rest on the string of pearls on her dressing table.
You seem very interested in these. Would you like to wear them tonight? No, I don't think so. Oh, come on. It'll be fun.
She stands behind her, putting them round her neck.
There. What's your real name, Rachel? What did you say? The State Nursing Association has no record of a Rachel Summers. Your social security number's for someone named Rachel Summers, but she's a school teacher from New Orleans. She died 5 years ago. So who are you? Really? You know what, Anna? I don't think this is going to work out. Where do you think you're going? Talk to my father. Well, there's really no need. We've already discussed it with Dr. Silberling. Discussed what? Your behavior. Hannah, he's very concerned. He's beginning to think that it was a mistake letting you out.
You won't take this away from me.
I won't allow it. Now get out. I have guests coming.
In the evening, the sisters are at one end of the sitting room while Rachel's socializing with her guests.
I can't believe she sold you out to Dad. Maybe she can threaten you, but what can they do to me? I'm going to talk to Dad.
No. All she's going to do is convince him that we're lying and that it's my fault, okay? We just have to get through tonight, and then tomorrow we go to the police and tell them what's going on. You're only gonna make it worse for me.
Fine. But this is gonna take a lot of alcohol.
Alex heads off, and Anna wanders over to her father, who breaks off from talking to someone.
Hey, look at you.
What?
You look terrific.
Thanks.
Gosh. I guess you've grown up on me, haven't you? Hey, if it's any consolation, this is all pretty weird for me, too. Book launch parties. Might as well give everyone a green light to come into your house and judge you. Can I ask you a favor? Would you give Rachel a hand tonight? The truth is, I don't think she feels good enough for all of this. And people here are judging her, too.
Sure.
Anna heads into the kitchen, where she finds Rachel looking flustered.
What? I just wanted to know if you needed any help. Really? Sure, open the oven.
She does so, and Rachel lifts out the joint of beef.
Key to a good roast is to let it sit 10 minutes before carving. Let the blood flow back in. Oh, back to the fray. Oh, take out the garbage, will you?
She breezes out, and Anna walks over to the pedal bin, opens it, and lifts out the black bin liner of rubbish. She puts it down on the floor, and as she goes to open a drawer, is startled to see it move as if there's something inside it. She steps slowly towards it. Then she crouches next to it, carefully opens the mouth of the bag, and peers inside. As she feels around at the rubbish, an empty tin comes pinging out and lands on the floor, rolling underneath the oven and leaving a trail of sauce behind it. With a sigh, she grabs a paper towel and kneels down on the floor and starts wiping up the spill. She follows the trail of sauce to the oven and peers underneath to see where the empty can's gone. As she does so, suddenly, the red-haired girl comes rushing out at her.
You're next.
Anna's knocked the joint of beef on the floor. Alex comes hurrying in.
Leave her alone.
Just go to bed.
Anna walks out with Alex following. Later, Stephen's outside seeing someone off.
No, no. Listen, I'll be in New York tomorrow and we can sort this all out. Sorry about this. Travel safe.
Anna knocks on her dad's office door.
Dad, can I talk to you? Tonight, there's a reason for what happened. It's Rachel. She's not who you think she is.
Enough, Anna. What has she done this time?
She's lied to you.
About what?
About everything. About her name. Do you even know where she's from?
I'm not going to dignify that with
an answer. No, of course you're not, because you only see what you want to see.
All she is trying to do is make this family work.
She's not trying to make it work. She wants you for herself.
That is ridiculous.
God, if Mom could see you now, siding with that bitch who's trying to tear us apart.
Rachel isn't the one who's tearing us apart. Look, maybe we should talk to Dr. Silberling about this.
Right, because I'm the one who's crazy.
I didn't say that. You know,
Dad,
I did.
You're not wearing your ring.
He looks at her sheepishly, then turns away.
Are you going to marry her?
Yes, Anna. We're getting married. Sometime this fall. We talked about going away, but I want to have the wedding here. For all of us. I'm not ashamed, Anna. I'm not ashamed to be happy again.
He walks out of the room, glancing back at her briefly as he goes. Daytime, and the two sisters stand watching as their dad throws a bag in the back of his 4x4, then opens the driver's door, giving them a wave. They wave back at him as he gets in the car.
Hi, Daddy. We shouldn't be late for Matt's service. Wear something decent. I want to look like a family.
A burial service.
In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains? See how the wicked string their bows, fit their arrows to the strings to shoot from the shadows? When foundations are being destroyed, what can the upright do?
Anna's tearful and upset as she looks at Rachel, who gives her a cold stare in return. Matt's coffin is lowered into the ground. Anna watches Rachel step forward to drop a rose on the coffin, revealing the little red-haired girl standing behind her.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Anna looks on in shock as the girl stares at her as she walks off past the other mourners.
When evildoers come at me to devour my flesh.
She walks off after her through the cemetery, heading up a grassy slope, following the girl, who's wearing a pinafore and blouse. As she reaches the top of the slope, she sees the smartly dressed twin boys, each wearing a shirt and tie, waiting for the girl, and the three walk off together. Looking mystified, Anna continues following them. They walk behind a tree, and when Anna does the same, she finds they've vanished. There are just a few overgrown, untended graves in the woodland clearing. Anna wheels round, looking everywhere for the three children. Then suddenly, one of the graves collapses beneath her, and she falls down into it. She gets up, brushing the dirt off herself, then pushes away some more earth to reveal three engraved plaques to David Wright, Samuel Wright, and Iris Wright. She and Alex are doing a web search for Wright Children Murders, revealing a news story from the Boston Star with the headline, "Local Children Brutally Murdered."
This is from April 11th, 1996. Police have recovered the bodies of three children from a shallow grave in the woods less than 50 yards from the residence of prominent physician Dr. Harrison Wright. Forensics reveal the children were heavily sedated before being stabbed repeatedly. Police have issued a warrant for the arrest of Mildred Kemp, age 19, who had been employed as the Wright children's nanny since August.
Mildred Kemp?
Holy shit. Listen to this. According to sources close to the family, Kemp had become romantically obsessed with Dr. Wright since his wife's death in a car accident last February. Despite police efforts, Kemp remains at large.
Wait, what? Look what she's wearing. The pearls. Rachel said they were a gift from an old patient. She put them around my neck, like she was proud of them.
Yeah, well, lucky for us, now we have proof.
Yeah, if we can get our hands on them.
Don't worry about that. This ends tonight.
Rachel's walking along the landing. Then the two sisters making their way cautiously up the stairs. They reach the top and peer around the corner at Rachel's room. Alex turns the handle of the door, but it's locked, then peers through the keyhole. Anna peers through after her, spotting the pearls on her dressing table. Then, Alex is about to climb out of a window.
go downstairs and get our keys.
What are you going to do?
Just get our keys.
Anna looks out of the window to see Alex edging along the windowsill. She looks back at Anna with a smile as she finds the bedroom window open and climbs in. Now, Anna's downstairs, tipping open Rachel's handbag and grabbing a set of keys. Hearing the noise from upstairs, she heads back up. She reaches the top of the stairs and peers round the corner to see Rachel's bedroom door now open. She cautiously approaches it, pushes the door open and walks in, finding the bedroom seemingly empty. The jewelry box the pearls were in is now shut. Anna steps towards it and reaches out to open it, but Rachel's standing behind her.
What are you looking for, Anna? Is it these, or are you looking for these?
She's holding out the pearls.
You should take them. Please, they mean nothing to me.
I know, Rachel. We know everything.
You caught me. Here.
Anna goes to snatch them, but Rachel attacks her with a syringe. Crashes back on the dressing table and lands on the floor, grabbing a glass perfume bottle and bashing Rachel over the head with it. With Rachel stunned, Anna grabs the pearls off the floor and runs out, but Rachel manages to grab her ankle. She breaks free, runs down the landing to her bedroom, but it's locked.
Anna! I don't want to hurt you. This isn't how I wanted it. You can make this easy.
Anna backs away, and as Rachel runs at her, she dashes into Alex's room and locks the door shut. But she turns to see Alex lying on the floor.
Alex. What happened?
She drugged me.
Anna pushes a chest of drawers in front of the door.
You gotta go to Emory, okay?
No. No.
He'll believe you.
Anna!
I can't leave you here.
Make you hurt.
Anna!
They link their little fingers.
I love you.
She kisses Alex on the cheek, and leaving her lying on the floor, goes to the open window and starts to climb out.
I'll come back for you, okay? I promise.
Now she's running out of the house to Rachel's car, opening it with the key fob. She jumps into the driver's seat, starts the engine, and screeches back out of the parking space. With the car now pointing the right way, she goes to drive off, but the car stalled and she struggles to restart it.
Anna!
Rachel manages to open the car door, but Anna screeches off up the drive. Rachel picks herself up and watches the car disappear. In Sheriff Emery's office.
So you're alleging that Miss Summers is actually a woman named Mildred Kemp?
Yes.
And she was the one responsible for the fire?
That's right, it wasn't an accident. She murdered our mother and now she's after us. Listen, I know how this sounds, but...
No, Mildred Kemp. I remember her. Out west in Woolridge County, years ago, wife died, man hired some nanny who killed all the children.
That's right, but they never caught her. Okay, listen, Mrs. Wright had a pearl necklace, 3 strands. There are pictures of it on the internet if you want to see.
And?
She puts the necklace down in front of him.
Rachel is Mildred Kemp, okay? She's trying to kill us and marry her father just like she did to them.
Emery picks up the necklace and studies it.
Listen, I want you to sit tight. Jerry is right outside that door. I'm going to pull up Miss Summers on the system.
No, there's no time for that. You have to go to my house. Alex is still there, and I'm afraid something's going to happen to her.
Nothing's going to happen to anybody, Anna. You wait here.
He walks out, leaving her sitting on the couch in his office. She lets out a sigh. Later, she's fallen asleep lying on the couch. She seems to be sleeping peacefully, her head resting on a cushion. After a few moments, she opens her eyes to see a woman in her 30s sitting on a chair facing her. She's wearing a sleeveless dress and has shoulder-length brown hair. She stands, smiling at Anna warmly.
Mom?
She steps closer to Anna and leans down towards her, smiling. She becomes Rachel.
Don't be afraid. I'm a nurse.
Emery holds her down while Rachel injects her with a syringe. Rachel pushes the plunger, releasing the fluid. Anna's eyes close and her body becomes limp. Passing street lamps illuminate a rain-spotted car window. Then Rachel's carrying Anna upstairs over her shoulder.
I remember her. It was out west in Woolridge County years ago. The wife died, man hired some nanny who killed all the children.
Rachel is Mildred Kemp. Police have issued a warrant for the arrest of Mildred Kemp, age 19, who had been employed as the Wright children's nanny since August. Forensics reveal the children were heavily sedated before being stabbed repeatedly. Despite police efforts, Kemp remains at large.
Rachel lays Anna down on her bed.
You're gonna sleep now.
Anna's barely conscious as Rachel pulls off her canvas shoes, then her shorts and top, as she lies helplessly.
You know, Anna, I'm never gonna have children of my own. I can't. Did I ever tell you that? It's never stopped me from imagining what it'd be like to have a daughter. But now you've taken that away from me.
There's a knife on her bedside table, and while Rachel's back's turned, Anna stretches out for it, but it's just out of reach. Rachel takes her outstretched arm to stop her.
Careful. You don't want to hurt yourself.
She's holding a nightdress for Anna, who's lying terrified. But then Anna spots Alex standing in the doorway behind Rachel, putting a finger to her lips. Rachel leans over Anna with the nightdress. Then, darkness. Anna's lying on her bed asleep, wearing a white nightdress. She awakens and sits up, looking at the bedside table. There's the copy of her dad's book, but no knife. She gets up off the bed and slowly walks to the bedroom door. She opens it and steps out. Then suddenly breathes heavily in shock. There's a long, smeared trail of blood stretching along the landing carpet towards the top of the stairs. She follows the trail, stepping softly down the stairs to the hall. It stretches across the hall rug, along the polished wood floor, and out of the front door. The security light comes on as Anna follows it outside. It travels along the ground in front of the house. Anna continues to follow it with a look of dread. Another security light flashes on, showing where the trail ends, a large metal rubbish container. Anna places both hands on the edge of the lid and raises it. There's a black rubbish sack inside. Holding up the lid with one hand, Anna reaches out gingerly with the other to pull it open. She recoils in shock at the sight of Rachel's lifeless face staring at her.
Anna? We tried everything, Anna. This was the only way.
What did you do?
What did you do?
I had to, Anna. Didn't I? Didn't I have to?
She's holding a bloody knife. Anna hugs her.
It's okay. I'm here. Molly's here.
Car headlights.
Look at me. Look at me. Be brave, okay?
Oh my God. Are you all right?
It's Rachel, Dad. Rachel started the fire.
What are you talking about?
She killed Mom. Dad, I know you never listen to me, but you have to believe us. She waited until you're out of town, and she drugged me, and she drugged Alex.
What?
She was gonna kill us. Alex had to do it, Dad. She saved us.
Alex?
Alex, tell him.
Anna, what are you saying?
He can't see it, Anna. He never will.
Anna, you know what happened to your sister.
Tell him, Alex. Don't believe him.
She died.
No, don't believe him.
In the fire. It was a year ago.
No, he's lying!
Alex is dead!
Anna looks down. She's holding the bloody knife.
What have you done?
Anna takes a step back in shock. Alex is standing near the front door. Anna approaches her and she vanishes, leaving her staring at her own reflection in the glass door, her nightdress covered in bloodstains. She lets the knife fall from her fingers.
Anna? Anna, what do you mean the fire wasn't an accident? What happened that night? Tell me what happened that night!
Get away from me! Get away from me! Get away from me!
She dashes back into the house. Then, curtains billowing at the open door, Anna, in denim shorts and vest top, steps into the house.
Hello? Dad?
She sees movement in the light beneath the study door. She slowly approaches it and peers in through the keyhole. Inside, she sees her dad having passionate sex over the desk with Rachel, who knocks the glass paperweight onto the floor. Anna stands back up in shock, breathing heavily. As she turns away from the door, her eyes rest on a picture of the house hanging on the wall. With sudden determination, she storms off, grabbing a candle lamp as she goes. Then she's in the boathouse utility room, filling a watering can from the fuel tank, when Alex appears.
Chad Wisconsin. The guys, they want to come back to our house.
It's not our house anymore.
What are you doing?
They could burn in hell.
Anna!
The candle lamp crashes to the floor as Anna storms off, fuel from the tanks dripping towards its flame.
Coming, Mom.
Alex enters the boathouse as the flame ignites and the house erupts in a massive explosion. Anna drops the watering can in shock as she sees the boathouse engulfed in a massive fireball. She's frozen in shock as she stands watching the inferno. Then a series of flashbacks, and each time Anna was with Alex, she was actually alone.
I mean, how could you not send my letters? Those were my letters, Dad.
What? Were you too afraid I'd tell her about your new little girlfriend? Mom, was that it? Tell me all the dirty little secrets?
Anna? Listen, I'm going into town. You want to come?
I followed you home that night, Anna. I saw everything.
Don't let go. Dad, hold me.
Anna let Matt fall from the rock into the water.
You know, Anna, I'm never going to have children of my own. I can't. It's never stopped me from imagining what it'd be like to have a daughter. But now you've taken that away from me.
Stephen looks out of his bedroom window as Rachel's body is wheeled on a gurney into the back of an ambulance. Sheriff Emery walks in.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ivers. I noticed the name on Miss Summers' passport doesn't match the name on her driver's license.
She changed her name 3 years ago. Had a boyfriend, used to beat her up. My real name is Rachel Warshinsky.
Your daughter got it in her mind somehow that your fiancé was a woman named Mildred Kemp. Why would she make all this up?
Stephen's looking out of the window as Anna's getting into the back of a police car, her hands cuffed behind her back. She sees him watching and stares back at him. Then, after getting in the car, she's still staring at him out of the back window. Her eyes are still locked on him as the car drives off. An entry card is swiped through a card reader, and a guard enters a door marked Secure Ward. Someone wearing white socks walking along the smooth floor of a corridor. In her room, Anna's at her desk, using her thumbnail to scratch out Rachel's face in the family photo when Dr. Silberling looks in on her.
Hello, Anna. Are you okay?
I did exactly what you asked.
Did what, Anna?
She picks out Rachel's face from the photo, then turns to look at him.
I finished what I started.
Now looking uneasy, Dr. Silberling walks off. Anna gets up from her desk and goes to the door of her room. Across the corridor, the scary young woman is in her room. She turns to face Anna and fixes her with a grim smile.
Welcome home.
She's holding a string of pearls as she closes the door of her room. There's a nameplate on the door which reads, Mildred Kemp.